Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Jenna Dooley. Just a quick programming note. All next week on the 21st, we'll be doing a segment each day devoted to how Illinois is dealing with coronavirus. What questions would you like to get answered? Go to askthenewsroom.com. Well, Scotland is set to soon become the first country to make access to hygiene products like tampons or pads completely free. The country took the first step in 2018. They passed a law requiring feminine hygiene products be available in schools without charge, just like toilet paper or soap. That's actually the same year a similar law went into effect here in Illinois. It's called the Learning with Dignity Act.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a bill that simply states that in our education facilities, public, private, or charter, we will provide in the restroom feminine hygiene products for girls in school.
That's former State Representative Letisa Wallace of Rockford. She was speaking on the floor of the Illinois General Assembly in the summer of 2017. Her measure passed. But reporting from NPR Illinois tells a different story. Some high school journalists are now raising questions about how many schools are actually complying with that law. Joining us now is Letisa Wallace, the former state representative who sponsored the bill. Also joining us is Illinois State Representative Katie Stewart of Edwardsville. She wants to pass another plan that would have Illinois universities make free period supplies available in restrooms. Welcome to you both.
Hi, hello, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Also joining us is Ashley Novoa. She founded the Chicago Period Project. Thanks for joining us, Ashley.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Letisa, I want to start with you. What exactly does the Learning with Dignity Law Act that went into effect in 2018, what does it require?
It requires that schools with students from 6th to 12th grade provide, we called it feminine hygiene products, within the restroom, as you mentioned, just as we have soap and toilet tissue and paper towels inside the restroom, those hygiene products should be provided inside the restroom for free for students who are menstruating.
What inspired you to sponsor the legislation?
Well, for years, I've been aware of the issues that some women face and some young girls face in terms of being able to go to school if they can't afford products. I've heard stories in my local school district of young ladies missing school because the products that were in the home were used by their mother, and their mom had to go to work. So there were actually young women in our country, in our state, missing educational time because they didn't have access. And then every woman knows, and every menstruating person knows, sometimes you don't know when you get your period. Sometimes you get surprised. And you should be able to have access to products so that you can go on with your day and not be embarrassed or have to disrupt and go home early. And that was the motivation for this.
Representative Stewart, what inspired you to get behind it?
Oh, well, I spent many years as a middle school educator, and I was the teacher. I mean, most of the girls in my class knew which drawer I had a supply in for those emergency times that Letisa Wallace just talked about, when you don't know when it's coming, especially when you're 12 and 13 and 14 and it's all new and your body is not on any kind of regular cycle.
And Letisa, this is the law, but it's not common knowledge. Dusty Rhodes reported a story for NPR Illinois with the help of some student journalists at Springfield Southeast High School. Here's what student journalist Abigail Olalari had to say.
But there's many people who I told about the law were in the dark like me, but more so the views on it were positive. And they're like, yeah, this is a thing. Like, okay.
Letisa, why don't more people know about this law in Illinois?
I think sometimes because so much legislation passes any given session, things sometimes get lost. This particular bill passed during a very contentious time in our state legislature, and when there were a ton of other women's rights and reproductive health right issues going on, we were successful in passing those, and this was just one of those bills that I think because of the hype around some other issues, it just kind of didn't get the attention that it needed. But organizations like the Chicago Period Project and just grassroots young women like the journalists you talked about, they're actually continuing to bring light to it. I get contacted probably several times in the last, I've been contacted several times in the last several months about the issue. So your program, Dusty Roads Reporting, hopefully will start to get parents and in the community to know that this is the law and we expect for our schools to comply.
Ashley, I want to bring you into the conversation here because Letisa mentioned the Chicago Period Project. You founded an organization in Chicago that is making products more accessible. Are you seeing the same issue in schools?
Definitely. So we started in 2016, and we have since then donated over 500,000 products to people that are in need throughout Chicago, and about 80,000 of those have been within our school system. We were familiar with the bill. I believe it passed last year in January. And as we were calling around and doing our research amongst the schools, we were just realizing that although the bill was passed, it wasn't being implemented. As we all know, our Chicago public school system needs a lot of work within itself, and they don't have, you know, we're supposed to have it within our budget for the books that they need, which they don't even get that. And, you know, the teacher strike that was going on at the moment. So, yes, as we were calling around, we found out that a lot of times the teachers were having to buy the supplies themselves. And if they weren't doing it, then unfortunately the students were going without products. And like Letitia said, they were missing school if they were not there. So as an organization, one of our biggest priorities is to work with all of the schools in the underserved communities to make sure that they are fully stocked with tampons and pads, just so nobody's education is interrupted.
Ashley, you talked about the importance of getting these products into the hands of young students, but what's the passion behind how you decided to found the Chicago Period Project?
Well, in 2016, we were all aware of the political climate at the moment, but there was also a lot of talk about the Planned Parenthood defunding, and it was just a moment going on with women's rights and our reproductive justice and things like that. And I had actually come across a video that was on Bustle that showed a person throughout New York as they had their period. And being somebody that has menstruated since I was 12 years old, I was actually taken aback and like really shocked and embarrassed with myself that I had never thought about that particular struggle within the homeless community. So I started a collection amongst my friends and it just took off. And here we are almost 4 years later, we realized the actual real need for the products out there. And so I knew I had to do as much as I could, and now we're a nonprofit, and so it's my main focus. Aside from being a full-time mom, it's my full-time job.
And I want to talk more about the enforcement of the rule. Part of the problem we've talked about could be a lack of awareness, but it is difficult sometimes to enforce. Here's what another student journalist said. This is Lainey Rowmaker in Springfield.
Mostly I found that in other schools, there was the same situation as we have. They have dispensers, but either the kids don't know they're there, or if they are there, they're not fully equipped with what should be in them.
Letisa, Lonnie found that by doing an informal survey of students at other schools in Illinois, finding that they aren't fully equipped with what they should have, even if there are free dispensers. Have you noticed this, too, in your neck of the woods?
Well, I do check out the restrooms whenever I'm at one of my son's basketball games throughout northern Illinois. I have noticed that there are vending machines in most of the bathrooms that I go into, and some are clearly labeled free. But because I don't want to end up taking a product that someone needs, I've never actually tried the machines. I've also heard of people saying, well, we still put them in the nurse's office for free, or we still have them in this other location for free. And I have to continue to remind people, the law is very specific about it being in the restroom, as we put all other hygiene products in the restroom.
Katie, Representative Stewart, I want to talk to you. What would you say about better enforcing this law?
And Katie, it's fine. I need to kind of take a note from Letisa, and when I am in schools, I need to take around my neck of the woods in southern Illinois and check and see what's going on there. But, you know, the enforcement question is a really difficult one. because it's just hard to be in every bathroom at every time. I'm getting the same type of pushback on my measure to put them on college campuses and being asked, isn't it okay if we have it at student health services? Isn't it okay if we have it on the first floor bathroom but not on every floor of an eight-story tower? And I just keep trying to, I was very inspired by Letizia when she passed this legislation. And I would like to use this as an opportunity to normalize menstruation. The fact that we menstruate, I believe, is something that's always held back people who do menstruate. And let's stop whispering about it and hiding it and put it in the open. And it's a hygiene product that should be available where we need it, when we need it. I go into a public restroom. I assume I'm going to have toilet paper and a hand towel available to myself. I should be able to assume that if I should need it, a tampon or a pad would also be available.
And you are hearing a 10-month-old in the background here as we had this conversation with some young mothers.
He's very passionate as well.
Well, I want to play a clip from excellent. You talked about opposition, and there is some opposition to this law. I want to play a clip from Allison Malley with the School Management Alliance. Here's what she told NPR Illinois for their story.
A lot of times what it comes down to is whether or not there is funding associated with a mandate that's coming from the state that they are not necessarily supporting financially. So that's really where our opposition came in.
Okay, Letizia, what would you say to people who are worried about the cost of this?
Well, I would say that we did historic work on school funding in the state of Illinois in 2017. And even during the time of the budget impasse, we were able to pass educational budgets that resulted in increases for a number of school districts. The district in the area that I previously represented over the last several years probably got close to an additional $20 million. So my pushback would be, how do you take a look at what the new school funding formula does for your district and then carve out what is necessary? Again, we wouldn't ask a student to walk down the hall to the nurse's office for toilet paper. I don't think that we would ask students who present to the world as boys to have to go and do something extra to take care of what they need to take care of in the restroom. And I think that this is something that if it became a budgetary priority, individual school districts would be able to make sure that they were meeting their students' health care needs.
Representative Stewart, why do you think this rule now, or what do you think the chances are to get this to apply to colleges and universities in Illinois?
I think there's a pretty good chance. I think we set a really good precedent. In terms of the compliance, I'd like to point out our universities and even our high schools are never shy about going to Coca-Cola, and they have given them scoreboards that cost tens of thousands or even $100,000, and we are willing to put vending machines that are, you know, branded in our school cafeterias. I can't imagine that there would not be a company that would be willing to put in a branded, dispenser in bathroom locations across college campuses. I think that there are other ways to fund what is really a necessary thing.
Ashley Novoa, I want to bring you back in. Again, Ashley Novoa is the executive director of the Chicago Period Project. Ashley, your organization brings supplies like tampons and pads to food pantries in Chicago where people might struggle to afford these products. Do you think they should be free for everyone, regardless of income?
Definitely. As I believe we should all follow Scotland's lead and, provide the supplies for everybody across the board. But I do understand that this is a million-dollar business, and unfortunately, it's probably something that will not be happening. And in that meantime, we are happy to be here to provide those supplies. I always tell everybody, as a nonprofit, we would eventually like to be a nonprofit that is not needed, because these supplies are we need them. They're basic necessities, just like we were mentioning, just like toilet paper and things like that. They are basic necessities that we need to function properly throughout the day, and they should be provided to us.
Let's put our hindsight is 2020 glasses on. Letizia, if you could write the law differently today, is there anything that you would change?
Yes, definitely. I would not utilize the phrase feminine hygiene products. I would just use menstruation hygiene products or hygiene products. And I would also ask that those particular products be available in every restroom, 6 through 12, because we do have trans students who present, again, to the world as boys, and are usually using the male restroom, but may also be menstruating. So I think I would make the language more trans-inclusive and language that basically just kind of referred to a menstruating student and not be so gender-specific about it.
And Representative Stewart, knowing that, how easy is it in the General Assembly right now with the timing of things to add those elements that Letizia mentioned?
That's what I was going to say. I'm aware of those elements. I would love to have an opportunity to work with Letizia to possibly bring forth legislation that would make those changes and make the bill really do what it is intended to do, which is serve everyone who menstruates.
That's Illinois State Representative Katie Stewart of Edwardsville, and you heard from Letizia Wallace, a former state representative who sponsored this bill, and we heard from Ashley Novoa, who founded the Chicago Period Project. Thank you all for speaking with us today on the 21st.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear more about a growing industry of tattooing. It's helping people in their recovery after surgery and accidents. That's on the 21st.